You're listening to bbsradio.com. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Any listeners out there, I realize that we're going against the final presidential debate tonight. So if anyone is out there and listening, good for you. You want to create Tantra as your new reality rather than the politics of the United States as your new reality. I would urge you to have both, you know, like to be a little two-headed about that. One side creating reality and the other side paying attention to what's going on in the world today. Anyway, if you are listening, welcome. And if you first pick up the show when it's rebroadcast, I welcome you then too. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. I greet you in peace, peace, peace. And I actually hope that what's going on in the other part of the world, the other reality of the world, is bringing us more peace, peace, peace. That would be my vote. Anyway, this evening I have a wonderful show lined up for you. And as the appetizer part, I want to discuss something that my guest is an expert at. She's written books on the subject. And that is, and you may have heard in my shows before many times over the course of my doing the shows, the term polyamory has come up. And it comes up sometimes in relation to Tantra and sometimes just in relation to whatever. And tonight we're going to delve into that a little bit. What is it? If you're thinking about, you know, well, what was it? Maybe you're considering it, having being in a relationship not exclusive to one partner. And, you know, I can't even define it for you, which is why I'm not the expert on this, but my guest is. I just want to let you know that I have said to you many times in Tantra that, first of all, when one embarks on a tantric path, the partners that one attracts are very different usually from the partner or partners that one has a picture of. It's a very different trip. It's a very different journey to be on a tantric path. It blows open assumptions. It blows open addictions. It blows open the way it has to be in our kind of rigid thinking minds, and opens us up to more possibility, opens us up to be expanded humans, and to question a lot of the paradigm that got handed to us. No matter what culture you are listening to this, each of us in some way, culturally, religiously, what have you, has been handed a particular map in which we're supposed to follow and a way to live. And in Tantra, tantricas very often question that. They question the wiseness of that. They question the soundness of it and sometimes the authority of it. And so people have begun, not all tantricas, many tantricas are monogamous or celibate or nothing. And some are exploring a way of being called polyamory. So tonight, that's your little appetizer for tonight, just to whet your appetite. And I want to tell you a little bit about our main course and the person who's my honored guest this evening. So my guest is Deborah Annapol. She has a nickname Taj, so some of you know her as Taj. Deborah Taj Annapol. And she is an author. She's a doctor of psychology, and she's an author. She's written two books. One book is called Polyamory, The New Love Without Limits, and the other is The Seven Natural Laws of Love. And tonight, she's also a Tantra teacher. As a matter of fact, when I first started teaching Tantra, or when I first became even interested in Tantra, I knew about her. She was one of those people that was already out there. She was famous. People were talking about her, and I, you know, I didn't really know that much about her, and since that time, we've been in conversation, Deborah and I, and together we're going to India this year. So I welcome Deborah Annapol to my show this evening. Deborah, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Laurie.
You're so welcome. It's true, by the way, I never told you that, but when I first started getting into Tantra and teaching Tantra, to me, you were unknown. You were one of the famous ones, the famous teachers out there. And it's my pleasure and privilege to be friends with you now. It's a great feeling.
Well, I'm so happy to be here.
Good. I'm glad. Tell us, before we actually get into the subject matter, which sometimes your name and the subject matter go hand in hand, before that, maybe that's the precursor to Tantra for you. I'm not really sure. Like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Did you get into Tantra first, or did you find your way into a paradigm known as polyamory first, or did they come together?
Well, you know, that's a really, I hadn't thought about it that way before, but as soon as I take a look, I realize that Tantra and polyamory both came into my life in a similar way at a similar time. That is, I stumbled upon them quite unintentionally and unconsciously and not having a clue what they were or even any words for them. And so in terms of polyamory, I just, from the time I was a teenager, found myself engaging in a more tribal way of relating. There were a few guys who were buddies, and I was buddies with all of them, and got sexually involved with a few of them. And did actually couple up with one, but I realized only later that, yeah, I didn't have a concept which would have allowed me to recognize that I was having simultaneous, close, emotional, sexual relationship with more than one person. I had these blinders on that said only one boyfriend at a time. So even though it didn't fit my reality, I was doing it unconsciously. And I think Tantra happened in a similar way, in that I was just naturally tantric from an early age and attracted into my life other people who also were. But I didn't really give it much thought. I just thought that's how it was. And I think it really got my attention when I was about 17. And I took LSD with a lover and discovered chakras.
That's fabulous. Go ahead. I love it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So then I wanted to, you know, then I went looking for information. And there wasn't much around in those days, really nothing from a Western point of view, but that's what started me on that search. And that actually happened before I consciously started looking for alternatives to monogamy, ethical and sustainable alternatives to monogamy. That happened much later, but they're both threads in my life, really, as long as I can remember.
Now, may I ask you some, you know, in-depth questions about this? We'll go to the first and then the second. Is that okay?
Sure.
Like the guys that were your friends, and then you started being connected to them, you know, intimately. Did they know? Was it open like that? I mean, to me, I guess my picture of polyamory these days is that people tell, you know, that part of the rules, if there are rules, and part of what makes it work is that people openly are honest with each other about having more than one partner. But in those days, back in those days, when I'm imagining when you were inventing a model for yourself and didn't know it, were you open about it, or was it, and did they know, or was it, were you kind of hidden?
It was really quite open, and then, you know, kind of the quintessential moment that has stuck in my mind is I had gone on a camping trip with two of these guys, and we're sleeping in a tent, and I was in the middle, and I felt hands from both sides. And what I did was I took their two hands and put them together. Mm. And that really, you know, said it all, that that immediately brought into their awareness what was happening.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. So they obviously you couldn't have been cheating because they were both there. So.
You're right.
Yeah, so that's great. And then, but you had the idea in your mind still, the idea. Well, yeah, but it's really one on one. You had the idea that it really, you know, the model that was handed to you was still in your mind.
Right, right. We were just playing, and that was fine. But I had it that I had to choose one if I was going to be serious about this.
Right. Okay, good. And then it's, you know, the next question is, and how did you shift that? How many years did it take you to get over that idea, and where has that led? And then we'll tie that back around to Tantra. We've got plenty of time here. So,
probably another 10, 12 years before my mind caught up with my heart and my body. And by that time, I was coming out of my second marriage, and I was getting the idea that, you know, there's something wrong with this idea. And so I started looking around for alternatives. And I very quickly discovered that there were people having open marriages, open relationships, and not only that, group marriages and group relationships. And as fate would have it, the very first experience I had in, you know, conscious polyamory, the word didn't exist then, but the concept was there, was with a group of people who had really mastered it. They had already been together about 15 years at that point, and they were so clear, and they were so unconditionally loving and supportive with each other and with me that it looked really easy, and it was very easy for me to just slide into that experience and have it be a joyous and loving experience without a lot of the struggles that I've since learned are much more common for people who try to bring their egos with them into polyamory. And I would say maybe if there's a place where polyamory and Tantra coincide, it's just there, that both of these paths really require you to surrender the ego.
So that is really, but that's really the challenge of everything. I mean, that's kind of the challenge of life that you mentioned. And Tantra, obviously, or maybe not so obvious to our listeners, but obvious to you, yourself and myself, Tantra obviously starts to get at ways, actually not so difficult either, kind of easy ways to start to surrender the ego without actually looking, oh, this is my ego, I'm going to surrender it. More just doing some practices that are not so difficult, simple practices which start to expand us beyond the limits of ego. So I imagine that the paths are somewhat connected, just exactly the way you're saying, allowing people to surrender that ego.
Right.
That's an amazing discovery. So you just like naturally, it wasn't really like a conscious choice. You just kind of slid in to a path that you were discovering, and then later found out there were other people on that path. There were people who made it simple. There were people who were well established in it, and you were discovering it.
Yeah.
That's quite beautiful. And then, gee, I want to go back and forth between the two, but I have so many things I want to ask you about the polyamory. Let's just go back to the Tantra experience on LSD. I love that. I always say to people that Tantra is makes you feel like people who pay a lot of money to put a lot of substances in their body. Tantra makes people feel that kind of high, that kind of bliss, that kind of amazing chakra connection without the drugs, like just the breathing and just, you know, all the other things. So, and of course it has the benefits of clearing out parts of the ego and attachments and things. So it's amazing that you discovered it then. When I say to people that I, you know, they say, how long have you been practicing Tantra? I say, consciously, since 1996. Unconsciously, since the 60s.
Right.
We're twin souls there. It's good. So, now, I don't know. Like, I'm not really sure what it is. So then you must have had a lot of experience with this, or you invented the term polyamory. Did you invent the term polyamory, by the way?
I did not invent the term. I was using the very clunky, responsible non-monogamy word. And,
okay.
Yeah, some of my friends, Oberon and Morning Glory Zell, they thought we needed a better word. In fact, we all agreed that we wanted a word that was not the absence of something else, but that was in its own right, not in opposition to, but just the concept, the primary concept. And so they came up with polyamory, meaning many loves. And it's caught on. I just checked today on Google, there's 1,800,000 entries that come up if you Google the term polyamory.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. So you all were really, you and these two and maybe a couple others, were that you coined the term. You certainly brought it into, you know, being. You brought it into, you know, public awareness. There's no question in my mind about that. That's why I say that your name, Deborah Annapol, and polyamory are like, you know, synonymous. If someone hears about you, they right away go to that. Or if someone talks about polyamory, they quote you,
For better or worse, it's linked with me and my identity, and it's been a bit of a challenge for me as time has gone on, because when I first started talking about and teaching about responsible non-monogamy and later polyamory, and what Ryan Nearing and Oberon and Morning Glory and many of the people who were involved in those early days were trying to point to a new way of relating that wasn't just about having more sex with more people, but was about creating a family, that was about a tribe, that was about real sustainable relationships of different kinds out beyond the boundaries of the nuclear family. And in a way it was idealistic and utopian, but I think it was also addressed to what we saw as a real breakdown in the social fabric.
Yeah.
So it's been a little disappointing to discover that polyamory has essentially become synonymous with swinging. Not that there's anything wrong with swinging, but most people who choose to pursue that lifestyle are going to great lengths to at least try to make sure that they are emotionally monogamous, that they don't get too involved with people other than their primary partner.
Right.
And
we're just going to need to take a break here for a second, but I want to definitely come back to this. This is key stuff, and I want to talk to you more about this disappointment and like that. So let's leave it for a moment and we'll be right back. If you've just tuned in, you're tuning in to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm here with Deborah Annapol. And we will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? all this talk about sex and love, love and sex, feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex, and it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of Eve's Garden? Eve's Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/tantracafe. Go there now.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tantra Cafe, and I'm Lori Handlers, your host. You're listening to bbsradio.com. I really want to thank my my advertisers, my people who advertise on my show, and I also want to let you know, if you would like to call in, the call-in numbers are 888-228-4494 in the U.S. or Canada. And if you happen to be somewhere else in the world, the number is 877-489-6350. You can also chat me on BBS Fast Chat on the website, bbsradio.com, if you have any questions for me or Deborah Annapol this evening. So, Deborah, we're back, and we just left off where I said to you, you know, how did it feel to coin a term that has now come into the, you know, into the population, into the world. It's probably translated in every single language. And you said that it was a little disappointing to come to find out that it was synonymous with swinging. And it's funny because one of the workshops that I attended when I was first studying Tantra was in Mexico, and the hotel where we were staying was right next to a swingers hotel. And we kept inviting the people there over to hear about Tantra. And then for years, I taught at that at the same hotel where I had been. And for years, some of my people would venture over to the swinger hotel and ask them if they wanted to come and participate in some open events in Tantra. And they didn't want to. They thought we were crazy. They didn't want to go, like, that deep, was my impression. You know, they wanted to stay in the sensations of it. So is that what you're talking about when you say, you know, with your disappointment? Is that part of what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that the unwillingness to show up with all the chakras, not just the sex chakra, or not just the first couple of chakras, but to show up with the heart, to show up with spirit, whole being to whole being is what's always been appealing to me. And certainly, you know, I have space for people to relate however they say fit, as long as they're not harming themselves or someone else. But do they have to use my word for it?
No, they don't. That's great. Right. I understand. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it is somewhat disappointing when you had a certain thing in mind and then it turns into something else. Yeah, that's a quandary. I can see that. Now, please talk a little bit more about this. Like, so for me, it seems challenging to imagine being, just because I guess of my time schedule. I mean, it's challenging for me to want to be in any kind of a relationship. You know, I in my life have been, what they call a serial monogamist. And that's not to say that from time to time, my relationship didn't open up a little. It did open up a little here or there. Certainly in certain relationships, it opened up a little. And yet, I found that I could get my most work done, I could get my most production, my book written, and all the things I'm doing when I'm not in relationship. Because to me, juggling my career with a relationship seems like an enormous task. So the feat of juggling more than one intimate relationship with a career, you know, and perhaps a family and a dog and, you know, everything else. How is that accomplished?
Well, it's certainly tricky, particularly when each of these threads are not woven together and integrated. And some people just have a very high level of energy and are able to, as you say, juggle all these different aspects. But to me, the whole point is not so much to keep all these different balls in the air, but to weave it together into one big hoop so that your relationship is in service of your work. And it provides a support and a place to regenerate after been out teaching or at the computer, so that, you know, writing particularly I find is a very solitary kind of activity, and I notice I write best if I have a certain amount of social contact, not so much that it distracts me from my writing, but I don't have a lot of energy to put into a relationship. So when I've been fortunate enough to be in a situation where I was in relationship with more than one person, they could kind of keep each other company, and then I could be free to be doing my writing, and yet they were there for me when I needed them and had dinner on the table. So, you know, it all depends how you structure it.
Yeah, I could see that. I didn't even think like that, but I could definitely see that. That's, you know, I can really see that it definitely takes a certain effort and holding a certain vision. And attracting in exactly what's needed, exactly the way one would go about attracting in a single partner. I can see how it would take a certain amount of self-awareness and self-knowledge to actually attract in another partner or two, or however many, in terms of, you know, holding a vision and knowing what's needed. It's amazing, just an amazing idea. Now, I have, in many of my Tantra classes, I'd have to say, you know, I don't know, I've now taught Tantra to thousands of people. I've been teaching since, you know, 99 or something. And I feel privileged in delivering what I deliver. And I caution people to, you know, kind of find their own way with partnership or love or relationship. I even say, you know, I've even quoted Osho as far as saying that when people are in relationship, it's actually dead. It becomes a thing. And relating is like the thing to keep it fresh and alive. Like, let it move and change and grow and shift. The thing that I notice occurring in most of my classes is when I say to people, you know, I want you to say your intentions. In every single class, they say their intentions. 8 out of 10 men will say they want to be in polyamory. They want to explore polyamory. And 10 out of 10 women will say I want to find the one. And I'm just, you know, like I go, okay, how do these trains meet? How are these ships going to meet in the night? Have any thought on that?
Yeah, I have some thoughts about that. Yeah, I could talk about this from two different angles, and the one that's really dearest to my heart at this point is to recognize that the masculine energy wants freedom more than anything else. And the feminine energy wants love more than anything else, connection. And we all have the male and the female within us, and part of our journey and part of the tantric journey is to integrate and create harmony between the masculine and the feminine within us. So, you know, and you mentioned Osho. Osho said that freedom and love are like two wings of a bird. We need both in order to fly straight. So if you have freedom without connection, you have loneliness. If connection without freedom, you have prison. So the truth is that the masculine and the feminine both want and need connection and freedom. And this was one of the things that attracted me to my version of polyamory, is that I felt it allowed for both. And my version of polyamory, by the way, and what I wrote in Polyamory, The New Love Without Limits in the 90s, is that it's really about letting love flow rather than saying this is the form that love must take, this is what it has to look like, to be willing to surrender to this powerful force, much more powerful than puny human being, our relatively ignorant minds who can't possibly grasp everything that's going on throughout creation at any one moment, and to surrender that love will take us where we need to go, and whatever that looks like, whatever form that takes, is the right form. So that doesn't necessarily mean more than one partner. So I've often said that, you know, two people who are together exclusively, not because they promise that they wouldn't have anything to do with anyone else, but because that's their truth from moment to moment to moment, to me that's actually polyamory.
Yeah, I couldn't really. I'm so in alignment with you as you speak. You know, it just, my heart is being so touched by the way you're defining this. And I have to tell you that that's not the portrayal. And you know, that's the disappointment part. That is so not the portrayal out there.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that. Because everything you're saying, I'm just like, I'm so, you know, it's a vibration, the same vibration. Amazing. Well, now you wrote this book in 92. So you were, you know, that's the forefront of stuff. I mean, you know, next to the 60s, you know.
Right.
92 was the forefront of stuff. And then what happened?
Well, what happened was this actually led me back to Tantra, because as I started writing and teaching about polyamory and creating seminars where people could explore sexual loving with more than one person, I discovered that for the majority of people, there was so much sexual wounding and so much unexplored territory in terms of sexuality just with oneself, that it was too threatening to open that up to even one, certainly more than one other person. And I realized that I was kind of putting the cart before the horse in a way. And I shifted my teaching really more in the direction of Tantra to help people develop more awareness of subtle energy and the breath, and to help people in a spiritual way to shift their identity from the personal self to this larger awareness of who we really are. And also through the tantric tradition of holding sexuality as sacred, to heal some of the sex negative conditioning that most people in this culture have picked up, even if they haven't had any particular sexual trauma.
So, yeah, so now I can see how they go hand in hand. And I can also see, you know, from what you're saying and from my experience with people, you know, with the people that I teach or the people who show up in my workshops, I can see how it can be used in that sacred sense, and it can be also used in a kind of slimy sense. You know, it can open up the can of worms in almost any direction, depending upon somebody's interpretation. I mean, that's just so much what I've seen. And I can see where you were coming from. Like, people probably weren't ready. People aren't ready until they actually are dealing with that emotional baggage and letting go of the traumas and getting released and allowing themselves to, and allowing that love to flow. Just
exactly
what you said a little bit earlier. We need to break again for a moment. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about your newest book, The 7 Natural Laws of Love, and what you've discovered in your years of teaching and your years of loving and your years of exploring this kind of relating. So we'll be right back. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm on the air this evening with Deborah Annapol, who has two books, Polyamory, The New Love Without Limits, and The 7 Natural Laws of Love, and we're going to come back and find out some more about love. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Savitu vareniam
Welcome back to Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, and I am here this evening with Deborah Annapol. And the music that you just heard is the Gayatri Mantra, sung by Deva Premal, a very popular songstress in the spiritual world. She has a delightful voice. I call her the Joni Mitchell of spirituality. Anyway, that was on a CD called The Essence. And the reason I played the Gayatri Mantra is because it's a song to Ganesha. Ganesha is the Hindu deity, the elephant. He's got a person's body with an elephant head, and he represents overcoming obstacles. And I figured this evening, since Deborah's my guest and we're talking about polyamory, that there was probably, you know, a need for overcoming whatever the normal obstacles are in relationship one-on-one, overcoming that, you know, and seeing through to a clear path with love with others. So that was my thinking when I selected this song for this evening. Anyway,
well, you know, that's very appropriate for the reasons you mentioned, but also I don't know if people are aware that Deva Premal gave an interview some years ago where she talked about her open relationship with her partner.
Really? I had no idea. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, she is from Osho. I mean, her parents were Osho, were sannyasins.
Right.
People listening, you know, I've mentioned Osho many times. I even have a show about Osho where he was a tantric master who was around until around about the year 1990. He was very controversial, and he had ashrams in this country and in India. And Deva Premal, this very fabulous singer's parents were sannyasins. They were devotees of Osho. And this Mitten, who is it, Mitten or Nitten? Her lover, her partner, who got her singing in the first place, he too was a sannyasin. So I imagine they have an open relationship. I'm not surprised. How long ago was that interview?
Oh, it might have been 10 years ago, maybe. So, you know, as you say, they're very busy doing their music, so I don't know how active that is, but that's their understanding anyway. That's their commitment with each other, is to be open.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as I said, Osho said, if you have it closed and you're in a relationship, basically it's dead. And it seems to me that their relationship is open and flowing. Look at the creativity coming out of them. It's got to be amazing. It's like an amazing creation all the time with them. So interesting. Well, I selected that through inner guidance. You know, I said, this is the perfect thing to play when you're my guest. So let's look a little bit about, well, I know there's some stuff we were just talking about on the break, which maybe you want to ask me.
Well, you said a minute ago something about the sleaze factor in polyamory.
I don't know, you just broke up a little bit there, but the people that I've met who say they are polyamorous, like most of them, I wouldn't go near them with, I just wouldn't, they don't attract me. It seems like there's an overlay of unresolved issues. They're trying to get as much sex as possible. They seem stuck in the sex chakra. I haven't met that many people that I would consider to be enlightened beings. I mean, this is all judgment. I own it. But it's really more of a visceral feel that I have in somebody's presence. Like, ew. Like, I wouldn't, you know, and that's why I have this joke that I say, you know, I wouldn't want to call myself something like polyamory. I wouldn't want to call myself something that sounds like I need to spray bugs, you know, take out bug spray for it. Like, that's how I feel about some of the people who present themselves that way to me. And it's really that I'm not prejudiced against, with the idea of creating harmonious multiple relationships. It's really that I'm I don't want to be harmonious with people who just want sex, and they just want some way to legitimize that. And people use Tantra for that too, and it really pisses me off.
Yeah, people use Tantra, and my big gripe is also people who claim to be Dakas and yet are playing the same old game. But what I have to keep reminding myself when I get into judgments is that actually, even though it may not look like it to us, this is practice. Because not long ago, a lot of this would have been going on in secret, undercover.
Right.
And so now at least people are, acknowledging what they're doing.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you.
You know, okay, I don't really like it that they justify it by calling it polyamory, but at least they're telling the truth about it.
Well, we have to race over to your new book now. So on that note, so tell us a little bit about it. If you can give us like 2 minutes on the 7 natural laws of love. What is that about? How did you come to that?
Well, what I realized a few years ago is that when I wrote the polyamory book, really in my heart of hearts, what I wanted to do was to redefine love. And I didn't have the confidence to do that in my 40s, but in my 50s, I said, I'm going to redefine love. And, of course, it's not me. It's my synthesis of the wisdom teachings on unconditional love from traditions around the globe that I've just taken all these wonderful kernels of and crystallized into 7 principles that lay out a very different picture of what love is than what most of us were raised to believe. And so that's what the book is. It's very short, it's very readable, and it's, I would say, essential reading for anyone in polyamory or Tantra who wants to catch up their beliefs about love to their tantric and polyamorous life.
Now, how can somebody get a copy of this?
It's available on my website at www.lovewithoutlimits.com, or it's also on Amazon. And
so it's the 7 laws of love that they would get at Amazon, or it's the 7lawsoflove.com. They can get it there too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The website is the 7 laws of love. They're linked, so you can get to the store from either site. And most people who've read it have really loved it, have really said it's changed their lives, actually. It's amazing how it's impacted people. It's just, I'm astounded every time I hear another story because, and it's, I put it together, but I didn't invent any of it. All I did was to synthesize what was already out there, but what you would have had to have spent months reading is now condensed into one little book.
Beautiful. Well, now I know what I'm going to be reading on the India trip, The 7 Laws of Love by Deborah Annapol. I want to say, it's funny, your book is The 7 Laws of Love, and my book is The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. So I imagine if people got a copy of your book and they got a copy of my book, they'd be set for life.
That's right. Well, we should package them together.
That's a really good idea. Let's discuss that when we're together. If you are listening to Tantra Cafe right now and you want to find out more, you can reach Deborah Annapol at either of her websites, either lovewithoutlimits.com or the7lawsoflove.com, and you can get that book at both sites, and you can also get it at Amazon.com. If you'd like to get in touch with me based on anything you've heard on this show or any other show, you can write to me at Laurie@ButterflyWorkshops.com. And you can also hear this show again and any of the other shows on TantraCafe.com. Deborah, it has been my pleasure to have you here this evening, and I think I might have to invite you back, and we need to explore more on another show. There's a lot more, I think, to cover about this. and to uncover for people and have them call in and ask the questions. So I thank you so much for being here this evening.
Thank you. It's been fun. I'd love to do it again.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. And on that note, for everybody, I'd like to say goodnight this evening from Tantra Cafe and BBSRadio.com. This is Laurie Handler signing off. Namaste.
Namaste.